What's the 411?
You're tuned into 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me at the roundtable as 411 Teen panelists, I welcome Brooke Gordon. Brooke is an eighth grade student at Gadsden Magnet School. She loves to read and adores animals. Hello.
Hi, my name's Brooke Gordon. I just want to give a shout out to my family and to my church, The Net, down in Quincy. And I want to give a huge shout out to Mr. Jordan for setting this up for us.
Okay. Ivana Shaw Simpson, also a student at Gadsden Magnet School, eighth grade in the volleyball and singing and reading.
Hi, thank you for having me. I want to shout out my family, of course. You know, birth is important. Another, like Brooke, a shout out to my geometry teacher, Mr. Jordan. He rocks for setting this up. You know, church is important as well. So, Miracle Temple, thank you.
Shadasia Jackson. Shadasia, eighth grade, Gadsden Magnet School, softball, singing, and reading are her thing.
Thank you for having me. I would like to thank Mr. Jordan for setting this up for us and organizing this. Thank you, Mr. Jordan.
Sylvia Super, 8th grade, Gadsden Magnet School. She's into acting, softball, and singing.
Thank you for having me here today. I want to give a shout-out to my family and President Rodriguez. Hi, I love y'all. And to Mr. Jordan, our geometry teacher. Thank you for setting this up, and thank you for everything you do.
Well, I want to welcome all of you to 411 Teen. As I said, standardized testing is the silver bullet for public education. Tests are popular because they can be used to enforce standards established by a governing body. A passing grade on the FCAT or the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test is required to receive a high school diploma from a public school in the state of Florida. The FCAT is a standardized test examining complex problem solving in reading and math. More than a third of the state's 10th graders failed the reading test the first time, and 25% flunked the math. Over three decades, the SAT has been used as a way to screen potentially successful students for college entrance. Often referred to as the big test, the SAT is a real rite of passage. 44% of the kids who graduated from high school took the SAT. Standardized tests are an integral component of today's education. In many cases, they are a determining factor for the future. Yet numerous problems have been associated with standardized tests. Women and minorities tend to receive significantly lower scores on SAT. Failure rate on the FCAT is significantly lower for minorities. Private schools, however, do not require the FCAT. Having to pass standardized tests is nothing new. But the pressure can be overwhelming, considering the significant influence on one's future. You all identified this as the issue. And why did you want to come and talk about the standardized testing on 411 Teen? I'll start with you, Brooke, and we'll just go around the table. Why was it so important to talk about this?
This is really important for us because getting these test scores is, like, really important for our future. It depends, like, getting a good test score depends on what kind of school you're going to go to. Like, I remember in third grade, I got high scores on FCAT, and I accepted into the school I'm in now. So this is really important for us, and the pressures that go along with it is really overwhelming in order to get good grades for our parents, for our teachers. It just weighs down on all of us.
Okay, so you make it sound like you really feel a lot of pressure from this, and we're going to talk about that. Ivana.
When Mr. Jordan asked us what we wanted to talk about, I feel like situations like this kind of stay in a classroom discussed type of area. Mm-hmm. And I feel like being on a radio kind of amplifies the voice of the students, how we feel about it, because to reiterate what Brooke said, it's a lot of pressure as to what people think you're going to do in life or what type of school you're going to go to. So it just to be basic, it's a lot of pressure, as we've already said.
Okay.
I really do think that it's a lot of pressure because all these people are coming to us, you know, saying to us, you need to do good on this test because if you don't, you probably won't even be successful if you don't make a great score on FCAT, because I've been in some situations like this, but I wasn't taking the FCAT, but it was even tests that weren't that important that mm-hmm. I may have probably gotten a bad score on. But it was still much pressure on me, and they put even more pressure on me for the FCAT, and it's a lot of stress. It's very overwhelming.
Okay. Well, Mr. Jordan asked us that day, when he came to us, he said, well, I got this opportunity for you guys to come on the radio station and talk about anything you want to. And he asked us, what do we want to talk about? And I thought that was the perfect thing because right then, that class before, we were just talking about, because we've been practicing for the FCAT. We're hardly into the second 9 weeks of school, and we're already practicing the pressures on already. Mm. And all they do is focus on the FCAT, and they're, like, to reiterate on what everybody else said, it's like, if you don't pass this, you're not going to make it anywhere in life. And my thing is, there's people that haven't passed the FCAT in other states, and they're, like, big-time people. Mm-hmm. They put this mentality in you that if you don't fail this, all you have to do is pass this test, and you'll be successful in life.
And that's not true either.
No.
Why do you think there's so much pressure for this test?
It's just because...
I love your face. We're not on television, but go on.
It's just... I think they put too much pressure mm-hmm. on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, us students were smart enough in order to complete the test and get really good grades and get really good scores on it. We've done it for the past 4 years, I believe, and they still put so much pressure on us. And sometimes if we want to, like, do, like, certain clubs or do certain activities, we can't because they say you have to focus on the FCAT, FCAT this, FCAT that. And then even after FCAT, we can't even do those certain things we wanted to do. So it's just really stressful on the kids because they want to have some fun. They don't want to do just academic hardcore every single day. They want to have a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm. All work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
To answer your question, I believe I have to agree with the basic strategy of FCAT and ELC because sometimes, you know, teachers believe, well, this student could have done better, so I'm just going to slide this grade in for them. There are holes into which report cards or just base grade passing can have. Mm-hmm. So FCAT really shows what that student knows, you know. So in order to support what FCAT and EOC is about, you could at least, like Brooke said, incorporate other things for students to do. I know that it's not like just GMS or Gaston Magnet School. Mm-hmm. Other schools have activities that they extracurricular. It's just probably one of those rare schools that don't have it. So I believe the point Brooke's trying to make is even though they want us to pass the EOC and the FCAT, at least have that extra thing that we can at least express ourselves in. And, you know, most kids that actually do that probably make a little bit better scores, mm-hmm. you know, than the average student. So I believe it's just the extra things that you can do for that child that really supports them. So
okay. Yeah.
I think the important thing is to incorporate other things that kids will also like, because you cannot base school on academics all the time because it won't be fun for the kids. The kids will think that it's too overwhelming, or if you don't pass, you won't do anything in life. So I really think it's important to, you know, have those extracurricular activities where you can, you know, just be free from work and from all the things that the teachers and or principal puts on us. Mm-hmm. And it's just very cluttering to, you know, have the FCAT, and it's a very big burden.
To answer your question, I believe that they put so much pressure on us because of pride. They want that thing, like, we're the top 10 school, or at least we were 2 years, now we're top 3. But people want to keep that. They want to go up, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But like everybody else has said, people need to give a break. People don't need all work mm-hmm. all the time. They need that special break. And just pushing work on them, that will make them smart maybe only that year, maybe that month. What's going to happen after that? What's going to happen after school?
Do you think that standardized tests really reflect how well one is going to do or how well one is going to perform? Because I think you mentioned that, Sylvia, at the very beginning, that someone may have done very poorly on a test and still be successful. So I wanted to get a reading from you all. How important, how significant do you really think these standardized tests are?
I believe that these standardized tests are important,
okay,
in a sense, to get our scores and to find out what we really know, what we really knew that year. But I think it all depends on what kid is taking the test. Like, that kid could have had a really hard day yesterday, and so now he's taking his test, and he doesn't really want to do this, so he just makes a bad grade. But he could be really smart and have straight A's. And I just believe that standardized tests are just here to see what we know at that point in time.
Okay. You agree with her, Ivana, or you take a different twist on that?
I believe in the basic idea she has, but when I was growing up, when I was in third grade, I made a really good score on the MCAT, but my friend, no names, but my friend, they didn't do so well on the MCAT, and what they'll do is they'll try to back up your score, the grades that you've made. So, I mean, I want to say that standardized testing is important in the sense where it shows what the child already knows based on that test.
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
if the kid's already had a bad day, as Brooke's scenario goes, grades also back it up. But, like we're saying, too much pressure. So that's the only reason I don't really agree with it.
Okay.
I do think that standardized tests help you, but in a way, you have grades as well, and that's also extra pressure because you have kids thinking that, if I don't have good grades, then, some people think the world would end. Some people, they really, really try hard to get good grades, but they forget that they also have the test, and that's also extra pressure. And it's kind of that way for me because I really do want to make great grades. But mm-hmm. when I think about me having to take all these tests at the end of the year, it's just very overwhelming. And I wish that sometimes I wish I wouldn't have to take the test because it's so much.
You agree? Where do you sit? Do those tests give you angst?
Yes. I, like we all have been, I've been doing the MCAT since I've been in third grade. My thing is, I don't believe that that passing the MCAT or any standardized test focuses on what you're going to be when you get older or how you're going to end up. When I was in third grade, and I still do, I have test anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that test in front of me, even if it's a test that doesn't count, I just get anxious that I have to do good and that I need to do this, I need to do that. And actually, when I was in third grade, I went to summer school for reading.
Let me ask you, hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me again here at the roundtable, I welcome Sylvia Super, Sandanisha Jackson, Ivana Shaw Simpson, and Brooke Gordon. We have been talking about standardized testing. Many states and the U.S. require public schools to administer statewide achievement tests at various levels. The findings may determine whether students proceed to the next grade level, and in the case of high school standards, whether they graduate. Yet, one can attend a private school and circumvent this requirement. Sylvia, I had to interrupt you before we went on break. You want to continue?
Yes, sir. Like I was saying, I don't agree with standardized tests. I believe that the basic principle is good. But, like I was saying, I have test anxiety, and I've always had since I was younger. And even if it's a test that doesn't count, I just freak out. And in third grade, I went to summer school for reading. Reading's never been my strong suit, but that year it was really bad. And I thank God that my summer school teacher was awesome. She, mm-hmm. Understood us because all of us there had test anxiety.
So it sounds like the teacher made a big difference here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really have a principal at summer school. So it wasn't all that pressure. It was like, okay, this is your second time. You've seen it once. You know what it's like. Now go on ahead and do it. But the way that the teachers and the whole faculty puts pressure on you. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that it's right. And I honestly, sincerely don't believe that it'll get you anywhere.
Do you think they're aware of just how much pressure is being placed on you? Sedacia, got that right. Okay? Do you think you're talking about all this pressure that's coming from the faculty at the school, the teachers, the principal. Are they aware of what's happening?
Some of them are. Not most. We talk freely with some of our teachers, like Mr. Jordan. Mm-hmm. And this is what kind of brought it up in class, because we've known him for about 2 years now. And we just talk freely and we learn to voice our opinion. But when you tell something to a teacher that you don't know that well, or even anybody up there, they take it's kind of like the comment box. They take it and they throw it out. Mm-hmm. It goes in one ear, comes out the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, let me ask you this. Do you feel we are reducing students to basically just scores?
Yes.
All of it.
Well, I believe that we are, because if you think about it, basically, whenever you take a test, you don't think about the child who's taking the test. You think about that score. Because then, mm-hmm. if they mm-hmm. get a 50 on the test, you're like, oh, that child must not be that smart. If they get a 90 on the test, you're like, oh, that child must be really smart. They're going to do great. And then 10 years later, they're working at Walmart. And the guy who got a 50 is a CEO of a large company. But I just believe that they put too much emphasis on the scores. Like, they look at the scores, but not at the child who made that score.
So what I hear you saying is that I'm going to come to you. I haven't forgotten you. But maybe instead of just looking at scores, we need to look at a composite of different things. Mm-hmm. Ivana.
I just wanted to say that was a very good point, Dr. Hollifield. But like I was going to say, I remember I have multiple stories, but, I'll just only pick like two. My seventh grade teacher, Miss Brown, awesome lady. I remember one year she made a very good point. When it comes to the FCAT and the EOC, we as students are just another number. They don't really get, I'm not saying you have to come to the school with your social security number, let me know everything about you. Mm-hmm. It's not that type of thing, but, and also like Brooke said, sometimes it could be the backwards thing, like, this girl in my class, Tunisia, very smart girl. But I make good grades. I'm an all A student, this semester, yeah. But, whenever it's like this habit we have because we know how smart she is, it's just a habit. When you have a question, Trinicia, where are you? Trinicia. Mm-hmm. Everybody asks Trinicia, but it's like people like me and Brooke, we're pretty smart. You can ask me. I'm over here. It's just it comes to the point where you don't you just focus on that one person that makes Trinicia makes straight off 100s. I make 90s. Mm-hmm. It gets to a point where it's just goes back to the standardized testing.
Okay.
You don't make that test score that they're expecting you to make.
Okay.
You're in that vast number of dumb people.
Okay. You agree or you had that same experience?
I also agree with Ivana because at our school, there are some people that show favoritism towards the people who have better grades than others. And I don't think that's fair at all because you have a lot of people in that school that are smart. But the people who get 100s and you have some people that look at those and have 70s. Oh, you're not smart. You need to get this done and you need to do better. I don't think it's fair at all because you have to think about you don't compare people to each other because it's not fair at all. And people are different. You can't do that. That's not fair.
But, now playing devil's advocate, what in life is fair? Hmm. I mean, that's the other side of it.
I agree. Acts have a very good comment I just thought about.
Okay.
Even though it's a devil's advocate kind of thing, when it comes to when you're dealing with, okay, I believe in preparing a child for the world. There's just a certain way you do it.
Okay.
I mean, even if you go to a job, people, you can say, look at that person's profile. They don't just look at the test scores they made. They look at what they've done in life, community service hours. I mean, it's kids who make 100s haven't done anything else, which is why we go back to the fact where you need extracurricular activity, because academics is not what everybody looks at. It's not the only
thing people
look at. So
that's a good point.
It's like kids, you can't just get scholarships off of just being smart, having high scores. You can also get scholarships from playing sports and like basketball or football. Kids get scholarships like that every single day. And that's why we need to have like extracurricular activities in our schools, because say for instance, a basketball player gets scholarship but then hurts his leg. If he also had academics and then a balance of extracurricular activities, then he could fall back on his academics or vice versa.
Do you all have extracurricular activities?
None whatsoever.
No, ma'am.
No.
At all?
Not really. Because they're taking some of those away because they want to focus so much on the FCAT. And I don't think that at that school we have balance, because it's like 90% of FCAT and 10% of extracurricular activities.
Which really isn't even.
Yeah, it's not a balance at all.
Well, before we started doing FCAT, before the FCAT became like the main priority, when it was just shoved off to the side, we had art. We had music, we had all this. But when FCAT got to that point where everybody's like, oh, you have to pass, or you're not going to be nothing in life. You're just going to be that guy on the street asking for money. You know, everything got kicked out. We're lucky that we even get to go to PE every day.
Oh, so you do have PE.
But they shorten it. Yeah.
Yes, and they're telling us basically. Sorry, Ivana.
It's okay.
But they're telling us basically the other day we were doing work and we were trying to finish it up, and they're like, oh, you know, you guys don't technically have to go to PE all the time. You can stop and do work.
You can stay in for PE and do work. So all they're doing is just taking everything away from us.
See, because,
how have you all tried to address this? I mean,
We used to have club day,
which was really fun for all of us because we all had clubs, but then they showing it to once a month.
And then me and my associate Brooke here, we don't get every day in PE. We get 2 days in PE. We get 2 days in PE out of the week because we have to go to gifted. It's a class for advanced kids or whatever, and we don't get the full day of PE. So that kind of shortens our time, which I think is illegal. We need to call 911. I mean, really.
And it's really difficult to finish, like, class time in 30 minutes. 30 minutes is not that much time to finish a whole class and get everything you need in that one session.
It's actually an hour and 20 minutes. 30 minutes is how much we have in PE.
No, that's all we have in gifted every day.
Oh, gifted. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
But we only have 30 minutes in gifted, and I wish that it would be longer because we're reading this book, and we only finish, like, one chapter, and then we have to go back to class.
How large are your classes?
Well, in our class alone, in eighth grade, we have 10 students.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is because some of the things that the school was doing, some of the kids got tired of it, and the parents, and they took their kids out of the school, which I'm kind of ready for myself, because they are also trying to take Beta Club from us, too, because they said that we're focused too much on other things, which I think is really outrageous, because we're not. We really aren't. They're just kind of closed-minded to the fact that we really want to, you know, just have fun and be free sometimes. And they just want to, you know, clutter our brains with just academics.
See, I think what's going to happen to all of us is that, like, say, for instance, you have an animal in a cage. You hold that animal in there for, like, a year. If you let that cage open, they will run out and just go wild. That's what will probably happen to a lot of us, because we'll be held up and we'll have a lot of academics. Like, they say that there are such things as book smart and street smart, and they say
you need a little bit of both.
Yes. Without street smart, like, you could be walking down the street and someone's like, hi, I just wanted to wonder if I could get your social security number so you could sign up for this thing. You're like, yeah, sure. And you give it to them, then they stole your identity. It's just that we need a balance. And they say that a lot of smart people don't have common sense.
Right.
And I didn't believe that at first, but then I started realizing that sometimes my brain went somewhere else in the common sense department. So I just believe that they shouldn't focus so much on academics. Like, let's have a little bit of leeway. Because if not, then we're just going to, like, bust out and just go crazy once we get out of school.
Well, I guess my question to you is, what have you all done collectively as a group and maybe even with your parents to address these issues? Ivana.
Well, you see, I have a tryst with my parents about the situation I've had with the extracurricular activities. My parents have really always been academic-based people. Like, gyms was like the perfect place for them to send me because they had the same mind as the teachers, if you could say that. So, I mean, academics was one. Even my parents, they gave, like, I am a master at piano. And because they wanted me to have something else. But the way I've addressed it with my parents, we have sent multiple letters to the superintendent. But here's the sitch, or situation, in case it sounds like a cuss word. he doesn't really address us until it's the fact where we pass and we make the county look good in a collection. We make the county look good. And he visits us sometimes. But that's, like, as we say, only when we've passed the FCAT and the EOC, standardized testing in general. So we've addressed it in the best ways we could or possibly could have ever done because of the limited amount of things we have, resources that we have.
So, are your opinions representative of the general overall student body? Everybody basically feels this way?
Yes, everyone.
Yes.
Because although others couldn't be here, they also felt the same way because it was an incident today that actually occurred. You know, because everybody at the school, in the class, they feel the exact same way because we've been there for at least, well, some of us has been there for 10 to some a year, a lot of years. And it's just crazy how they don't have a balance, and they label us as to be the smartest kids in Gaston County.
How large is the school?
The school is
about
as small
270,
as small.
175, about 200 kids.
It's
kind of
small.
And that is what just is that the whole school?
That's I know school
that's the whole school. School
from pre-K elementary, pre-K, all the way up through eighth grade.
Yes. I
now where?
Make,
sure.
It's actually 110 students.
Okay, where do you go after eighth grade? All of you are eighth grade students.
Right.
And now, when you finish the eighth grade, where will you go, Sylvia?
I'm gonna be homeschooled. Cause
why have you decided to go that route?
In Gadsden County, there's not too many options for advanced classes. And Tallahassee is a long drive and a lot of gas just to go for 8 hours. And on an everyday basis, that adds up. And so homeschool allowed me to finish up my college, my high school and my college around the same time.
Okay.
Well, with me, my parents don't work in the area of Tallahassee, Florida. If I do go to school, I probably have to go in Gaston County. Of course, I wouldn't want to. Like, I wouldn't go somewhere like God be here in the area of Tallahassee. But, you know, my test scores really allow me to do that. So it'd probably be somewhere in Gaston County because of gas.
Right.
Thank you, economy.
Economy.
Well, it depends because I have a few options about where I can go. I might go to Leon. Or I might go to Florida High. It just depends on our situation at the time whenever I'm out of school. Also depends on our test scores, see what kind of school I can get into.
Okay.
I'm definitely not staying in Gaston County, so I would be going to a school here in Tallahassee, either Godby, Lincoln, Leon, or Florida High.
Okay. Oh, you all talk about the need for advanced education. Have you considered the IB program?
My friend Angelica went into the Ivy League program.
I'm just saying that's an option.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ivy League, it just seems like, I'm talking very loud, I apologize. Ivy League, it just seems like that extra thing. I've never really looked into it. Maybe it's like a better program. I've never really looked into it.
I'm just saying, you know, that's an option that you may want to consider. Okay, and it's something that I think they do recruiting in the early spring. And maybe you could have a day and come over and spend time in the IB program. The students in the IB program are considered the creme de la creme. And I have them on the program a lot, and they seem to be involved in a number of different activities. That's why I say that. They aren't just pure academics. They're involved in a number of different extracurricular activities, although academics are a priority, don't get me wrong. But they still have time to explore and engage in other things.
Well, I have kind of sort of looked into it. Okay. A little bit.
Let me ask you to hold your thoughts. We need to take a break. I'm always interrupting you, Sylvia, but we're going to come right back to you. Welcome to the Ethicist Corner. Panelists weigh in on the rights and wrongs of daily life. Today's ethicist question. Due to a mix-up, you are awarded a prize that you are undeserving. If there's no chance that you will get caught, do you keep up the ruse and take the award or the cash prize? What do you do?
Well, I know that what people expect me to say is that, oh yeah, I would totally just give back the award, and that's like the honorable thing to do. But honestly, most people, and probably I would have to consider it for a while, but most people probably just, I'm just going to keep this. You gave it to me, and I'm just going to keep this. I think I deserve it. It just, don't lie to yourself. If you're going to keep the cash, just say, I'm going to keep the cash. Do not lie to yourself, and then whenever this happens, you end up keeping the cash, and then you're a hypocrite to yourself.
Okay, so would you keep it?
I think I would.
Okay, all right. Ivana.
In my lifetime, I have done this plenty of times.
Oh.
I have, most men have ever been offered was $100
mm-hmm.
because it had like, it just looked like it belonged to me. They were like, is this your money? Yes, it is. I'm taking it. It's mine. And not even a couple of hours later, I was caught. So no, I would not take the money because, you know, I've done that. I've made that mistake plenty of times. Eventually, you will get caught. And if it's that much money or that big of an award.
She said no chance for you.
I said, that's right. There's no chance that you will get caught.
Yes. Give it to me. Yes, I'll take it. Yeah.
Okay.
I will take it.
Okay. So as long as you know you won't get caught. All right.
Honestly and truthfully, I think I would keep the money. But I'm not encouraging anybody to, you know, be stuck in this kind of situation and keep the money for real. But I would because, you know, I like helping. I sometimes help out others, and I would really love to help out, you know, my family and others and, you know, doing something bad but doing something good at the same time would probably be what I would, you know, have to do.
Robin Hood.
Okay. So you would keep the money.
Right.
Sylvia?
Not to be the black sheep here, but but I'd probably take it at first, but I am, like, I cannot lie, honestly. Like, if I lie, I will, like, get caught right there. 10 minutes later, I would just, like, blurt it out. Okay, I lied. I can't no more. Mm-hmm. The guilt would eat me alive. So I would not get eaten alive for my guilt. I probably would say, you know what? That's not mine. You don't want to give that to me.
Okay. Those of you who would take it, do you think you would have any second thoughts about it? Like Sylvia mentioned.
It would probably depend on who really won. Like, say, for instance, if Trinicia had really won the award and then they given it to me, I'm probably like, you know what, Trinicia, this is your award. It is not mine. It just depends on who the person is. If they're like an arrogant, obnoxious person, nope, I'm keeping the money. You don't deserve it.
Right.
But if they're sweet and nice and smart and they really deserve it, I'm just going to give it back.
Okay.
Or it could be like a blessing in disguise, if you know what I'm saying, because, you know, if somebody doesn't deserve it, like Brooke said, if you're an arrogant person, and then if me, on the other hand, could be like a, you know, humble and giving person, and it'll be like a kind of like a blessing in disguise that I deserved the prize and you probably didn't. Because
but
of
what
actions.
I'm saying, what if you really didn't deserve the prize? Okay?
If I did not,
you were undeserving. Undeserving.
I probably would not keep it because, you know.
And you knew you were undeserving.
Right. I don't think
the
I
guilt
would keep
just.
It. Yeah, because I don't really like lying. I don't.
Well, you see, me. To explain, because Brooke said Trenicia. Trenicia is a super nice girl in our classroom, just to let y'all know. That's why she said that. Even if it was Trenicia, I honestly do not care. I don't care. I'm keeping the money. If you think it's me, yes, it's me. I'm keeping the money. I want it. I'm going to keep it.
Okay.
It just depends.
Right.
All right. Well, that's it for today's Ethicist Corner. Having to pass standardized tests is nothing new, but the pressure can be overwhelming considering significant influence on one's future. This is Dr. Liz Hollifield on 411 Team, and joining me are students from Gadsden Magnet School. I welcome again Brooke Gordon, Ivana Shaw Simpson, Shandasia, did I get that right?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Jackson, and Sylvia Super. Sylvia, it's on you, because I had to interrupt you again. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I have sort of looked into the Ivy League school, and like Ivana had said, we have a friend, Angelica, and I understand that one person.
Yeah, it's not the
opinion.
Ivy League, it's IB.
Yeah, Ivy
okay.
League.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Ivy League. I understand that one person's opinion is different, but I actually have about maybe 10 to 15 people in there that I know.
Mm-hmm.
They said that it's a really nice school, but, or a really nice class.
But I guess the only thing I say to you in response to that is you have to find out for yourself,
right.
Okay?
Right, right.
I'm not saying you need to go there. I'm just offering that as an option. And you might find one person who likes it. You might find another person who doesn't like it.
Right.
And you really have to make that determination yourself. You know, so that would be,
right.
You know, my comment on that. I was just providing you some other options. So what I gather from you is I get the feeling that you do agree that we place too much emphasis on test scores.
Yes.
Correct.
What should we do? How can we correct that? How can we change that? Still making sure that you know the information that is necessary. We have to have some way of assessing that, right? I guess you would
correct.
Agree there. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And we do know that standardized tests, you know, have their own inherent problem. So what suggestions do you offer for correcting this?
I believe if you look back, I'm not saying look back like maybe a couple of years. I'm talking about like to my mom's time.
Okay.
Like she is in her 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Her and my dad had amazing test scores. And when they talk, They say the only reason kids dropped out of school that time was because of friends, not because of school. Mm. I think it's going back in a sense of old blood. Nowadays, you have mostly new blood. You have a couple of those old teachers, but those teachers that used, the old teachers, they know there is a balance, not just balance, but also the way you teach. It's not always going to be that serious, shut up and do the work. It's more of a, you have to connect. The fifth grade teacher, Miss Mason, she still does little color cards. Yes, that should be something, you know, you think about. But when it comes to her teaching, she's a phenomenal teacher. Kids in that fifth grade class, most kids fail science because science is relatively hard. But because Miss Mason has that thorough experience in teaching, young teachers probably just want to do it the way that they've been taught, which is the new age teaching, which is more of a strict, nailed down type of teaching. But those old teachers, they know how to get down when it comes to what you're supposed to do.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of my suggestion in a way, one of those things you can try.
Shadasia, how do you feel about the EOC testing that's going to be?
The EOC to me, it's...
Which is end of course, for those who don't know. Okay.
The EOC is hard as well because it's just one more test that we have to, you know, think about and actually try to put our best foot forward, just like we have to do with the FCAT. But it's a little bit to a lower level because it doesn't count towards your grade, really, to you passing.
Oh, it doesn't count?
The FCAT does.
Oh, right.
And I want to pass everything that I do because, you know, I'm from a home, like, if you don't pass, then, you know, you probably won't.
You just blown it.
And I think that's also a problem because they also put pressure on us about the EOC as well, but they don't put as much pressure on us as they do with the FCAT, but it's also extra pressure, and I think that it's really crazy to me because they don't understand how much, you know, how much work we have to do, and they just try to speed things up just so, you know, that we can have this label on us that we're the best and we can finish in a timely fashion. And you can't rush something that kids really want to do because some kids, they can't function right with you being rushed because I know I have to take my time with a lot of things that I do. And especially principal, they love to rush. Like, are you done with this? Are you done with that? Mm-hmm. I really don't think it's fair.
The EOC. The EOC isn't really pushed as much as the FCAT. The EOC, since we are only in middle school, it's not really such a big deal right now. The FCAT, you know, they're like, oh, you're going to be nothing in life if you don't pass this.
So that's where all the pressure comes.
Right.
When we talk about this pressure, how do you feel? How does it make you feel?
I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders.
Yes.
It's like, if I don't make this, then I'm just going to be nothing in life, and it's just going to be horrible for me from this point on. And I really wish they would just stop putting the pressure on all of us. It would just make me feel relaxed, and it would probably help me better on test day if they want to put so much pressure on this. Like, if someone tells me, hey, it doesn't matter if you get a 50 or if you get a 100, I'll be proud of you either way.
Right.
I would feel much better on test day.
Okay.
Well, in a sense, to acknowledge the other side, you know, I believe what they're seeing is that they don't continue to stress it, then we'll just let it go. We probably won't put so much effort into it if they don't try to just push it on us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really not the case when it comes to our side of the story. It's more if you just give me that amount, not so much. I want that initiative that you give me sometimes. I don't want you to turn it into a life or death kind of thing.
So how does this pressure affect you? I mean, does it have an impact on your sleeping, on your eating, on, you know, how does with all of this pressure, because what I feel from you all and what I hear from you is that there is just overwhelming pressure when it comes to doing well, particularly on the FCAT.
In, like, the second week of school, mm-hmm. we already had a whole lot of pressure because they were already talking about the FCAT. And when I was thinking about the FCAT the same time I went home, like, just yesterday, when I was thinking about the FCAT, I was like, I really hope that everyone passes the FCAT, because if we don't, we're going to have this label on us that, oh, no, GEMS is, you know, they didn't do what they were brought up to do, or, you know, just pass. And I really think that it's important for them to not put as much pressure on us as they do, because the way we prepare ourselves for a test is we just, you know, just almost not forget about the test, but, you know, just act relaxed and normal and just, you know, be free. And they want us to act the total opposite because they think that we're, you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to do in order to prepare for the FCAT or the EOC.
Okay. You find that same experience? You're feeling that same way?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are there better predictors of performance that you think the education system could use?
They already use them. We haven't really taken it's a program called Accoletics.
Right.
Yes. They do that to see how we're doing in math. Mm-hmm. The district sends out reading tests, which have really been out of whack lately, by the way. So shout out to them. They use reading district tests to see how we're doing on the reading. So they use that kind of thing. They just send out tests.
But they're all tests, is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
What I'm trying to find out is if there are other predictors of performance that are not your test standard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
It's just like work in the classroom, period. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes we have like all these activities that we have to do that are based on grades, and they also put pressure on us about our grades. If you don't have good grades, then they'll just fuss at you and, you know, try to make you have good grades and force you to do what you're supposed to do. And it's like really hard based on like my experience from today and yesterday and all those other years that I've been going to Gaston Magnet School. And it's really hard. And it's like a big rock on my back that I have to try and chop down mm-hmm. until we take the FCAT.
And when do you take, I'll come right to you. When do you take the FCAT?
We have like 6 or 7 tests that we have to take at the end of the year. So it's different times.
Mm-hmm. It's one in February, the writing. We're taking, I believe, some of them in March.
Okay.
It's like whenever you think about your grades and about the FCAT and stuff, your kids are already worried about 10 other things. You're worried about the acne on your face. You're worried about what this celebrity's doing. You're worried about that guy you like. Does he like me or something? You're mm-hmm. worried about a lot of other things. And then you just pile on the FCAT and your grades and your future. It's just a lot of pressure.
Right.
Well, how do you all handle this pressure? What kinds of things do you do to alleviate the pressure?
Music.
Yeah, I listen to music a lot, you know, just to ease my pain a little bit, because it really helps me relax and, you know, express myself. And I also write sometimes, because I really love writing, because, you know, you can express yourself. If you don't feel like talking to anybody, you can just write it on paper.
Okay, so, and what do you do, Yvonne?
You know, I listen to, you know, doodly die, but I hope he listens to this. I pray to God. I'm going to play it for him. My brother, Isaac Shaw. Oh, my gosh. Isaac is my relievant. He is, like, my personal comedian. I love my brother.
Mm-hmm.
He helps me relieve that stress. He just helps me forget about those types of words because of how, like, innocent he believes he is. And he's only 10, but, you know.
Okay. All right. And what do you do, bro?
Like, they
said, like, you like music, right?
Yes. I listen to music and, like, I said, like, if you're locked up in a cage and they let you out, you go crazy and stuff. Like, we like to be funny. We like to crack jokes. We like to talk, have conversations such as these and stuff. Just, like, let go and relax for a bit until we have to go back to work. So it's kind of like just relax and talk and chill.
And some of the teachers, they don't even get our sense of humor. They're like, oh, okay. And it's like,
we're
being facetious.
Yeah. It's like we're being ourselves and they're like, okay, on to the next. Let's do this work. It's like, you have no balance whatsoever. So it's just, let go.
That happened to me today.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we had to write an essay. And like today's writing is some of my expression. People tell me I'm good at writing. I've never really been able to, I'm going to pursue this. We had to write about an essay about if we could spend the day with anybody, living or dead. So don't think I'm crazy. Who would it be? I wrote about my biological father, who has gone away. But the principal, she came around, she was reading the essays, and she told me, because I poured out what you could say my heart into that essay, she came around and she told me I need to change my essay. I need to change the person that I wrote the essay about.
Why?
So, it's a little crazy. I don't know why. I just don't feel as though I was able to express myself in that essay because, you know, there were those things that you could just feel she thought was wrong, you know.
Okay.
Well, I'll recap on your question, but Ivana's essay, I thought that was really wrong because I was sitting by her when this happened. And I read her essay and I heard her essay and it just like pulled on the heartstrings. And I was just like wondering, why in the world would this lady say that? Why would she tell this young woman who poured her heart out into an essay for class that she needs to change her essay?
Well, in the last minute and a half, what would you say to someone who was considering coming to Gadsden Magnet School?
I would tell them, I would, no doubt, no hesitation, don't go to the school. I would actually recommend another good school in either Gadsden County or, you know, Leon County. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you want freedom, you should not come to Gadsden Magnet School.
Okay, I want to hear from everybody real quickly.
I would advise not to because they shut down your creativity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would advise not to because they're being soft on us at that school. If you want to build up your character so that if you go to like a tougher school, they won't tear down you, tear down your personality, then I don't suggest going to this school. Maybe for the academics, if you're just academic-based, but other than that, no.
I say no because academics is really based. So basically, everything Brooke just said.
Well, this is Dr. Hollyfield extending a special thanks to Gadsden Magnet School, and I'd like to again say thank you to Brooke Garden, Ivana Shaw Simpson, Shadasia Jackson, and Sylvia Super. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809. Extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen Podcast, log in wfsu.org.